Today on the Girl Defined Show, we're talking about the fact that nobody goes into a romantic relationship hoping that it will end in disaster, in heartbreak, in bye, I'll never see you again. No, we all want the best. We're all hoping for maybe that ring, maybe that wedding moment. But unfortunately, breakups happen. So how do we deal with it? How do we recover? How do we move on? All that and more right now on the Girl Defined Show. Hey, sisterhood, it is Kristen and Bethany here, and we're so glad you're joining us for this conversation because breakups are something nobody wants, but so many of us find ourselves walking through them. We're in it, we've seen it in the past, or we're watching a friend go through it, or maybe one's coming our way and we just don't know it yet. I remember when I went through a heart-wrenching breakup, I was actually, I think, like 4 days out from getting engaged. The guy had the ring. He even showed it to you, Bethany.
Yes. Right? We were consulting on rings.
He was like, yeah, looking at rings, shopping for rings, and I knew it was coming. But literally 4 days before, I'm going to get into this later, but the entire relationship came crashing down. And that was truly, up until that point in my life, one of the hardest things that I had ever walked through. I felt so lost. I felt so confused. I didn't know how to move forward. I didn't know how to recover. I didn't even know what next steps to take. And if you've gone through a breakup, you can totally relate to that. So stick with us because we're going to unpack truths that will bring you so much hope, so much encouragement, and really just practical steps of what do I do after a heart-wrenching breakup?
I think one of the biggest questions we ask when we are walking through a breakup is like, we start the relationship with God. You're amazing. I trust you. Look, you've provided this incredible man. Praise God. I'm just in church worshiping because I've got my man. I mean, who can relate to that? Like when you get that guy, you're so excited and you view God through this lens of like, God is amazing because he's given me my dreams. He's given me what I want. But then what happens when the relationship crumbles or it comes crashing down? Either you ended it or he ended it or just some disaster took place and you're like, okay, like I'm not super excited to worship you, God. God, are you even good? How can I trust you? I'm overcome with worry and anxiety and fear. This is just the worst. I literally feel like I've heard many people describe it this way. Like when they go through a heart-wrenching breakup, it almost feels like the other person died because it's that separation that takes place. And so you feel like, God, if you were good, you wouldn't have allowed this to happen. You either wouldn't have allowed him to come into my life or you would have prevented this or you would have just changed things, changed him or changed me so this could have worked. And I know that's exactly how the two of us felt. I'm going to share my story of multiple breakups I went through. I'll pick one.
Yes.
I had a longer time of being single, so more opportunity to go through breakups than Kristen. But, you know, this is something that we actually fully unpack in our new book, Not Part of the Plan, Trusting God with the Twists and Turns of Your Story. And breakups fit right into that because when it comes to breakups, like I said, trusting God is hard. Believing that he's good, trusting his character, knowing how to get back up and walk forward and not be overcome with worry of the future, like what if this happens again? All of that is hard, but when we understand who God is and we can rest in his character and we can surrender our dreams and our future to him and believe that his story for our life truly is better. And, you know, Kristen and I are going to share about this, how looking back, we can say like, God, thank you for not allowing that relationship to take place because we wouldn't be doing this podcast right now. Like if you got engaged way back then, like Girl Defined most likely wouldn't even exist, you know?
So this wasn't Zach, by the way. I guess that's obvious because I married him.
But I want to encourage you, if you are struggling in any way to trust God, if you're struggling with worry, anxiety, or just wanting to thrive at this season of your life, whether it's because of a breakup or anything else, I encourage you to go grab a copy of our new book, Not Part of the Plan, Trusting God with the Twists and Turns of Your Story. You can find it on our website, girldefined.com/shop, or on Amazon, wherever books are sold. I really encourage you. This book will help you to thrive. It will help you to trust God. It will help you to know him in a deep and intimate way. And I think that's the heart of what we need. Like, that's where we're going wrong. And if you're like, well, I'm not going through something hard, or I'm not going through a breakup, you know, life is not easy. And the Bible promises that as Christians, we will face trials and tribulations. So start learning about God's character. Start learning to trust him. Start learning and preparing your heart so that when you do face a twist and turn in your life, you'll be prepared to thrive and to trust him, even if life is not what you planned. Again, you can find our new book, Not Part of the Plan, Trusting God with the Twists and Turns of Your Story, wherever books are sold.
So back to the breakups. I remember when I got into the relationship with the guy that ended up turning into a heart-wrenching breakup, when it started, like for most of us, I had high hopes and dreams. I was in my early 20s. This was actually a setup with this guy. So someone at our church recommended
him.
It was like a matchmaker, I guess. Someone recommended him to me, which sounds funny, like a recommendation, but that's what it was. Like, hey, there's this really awesome guy. You should totally meet him. And this mutual friend was also telling this guy, there's this really awesome girl. You need to meet her. And so it was like this mutual recommendation. And so this guy came to church. We met. And
I remember that.
Yeah, you remember that day? Yes. I still remember it. Yeah, that day seemed wonderful and beautiful and
like
exciting.
So exciting. The butterflies, like, oh my goodness.
Like,
this guy.
Like, I remember when he walked in and I knew, like, oh, that's the guy. Like, they want me to meet. Like, ooh, like, this is going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And so we met after church. And yeah, I was intrigued. He was intrigued. And, you know, he came so highly recommended. Like, this is like once in a lifetime kind of opportunity.
Yeah, it really was.
It's kind
from
of how.
Someone we knew and trusted that was very involved in church and just like ministry. So
right.
That was the confusing part. It was like he was yeah. Really super solid.
Yeah, yeah. And in so many ways, you know, he had a lot of great things going for him and seemed to really love the Lord and was very passionate about ministry and outreach and like helping people and being involved in church. And so we just got to know each other casually as friends. And then that quickly progressed into him asking me officially to be in a relationship. So we started that. And, you know, the whole time the relationship was progressing, it seemed very exciting. Like, wow, I started imagining my future with this guy. Like, wow, this seems to be going really well. This could end in marriage. Like, this is exciting. Like, this could be the guy I spend the rest of my life with. Wow. And, you know, as girls, as we start thinking about that and imagining the future, there's a lot of excitement in that. And you almost get more attached to the dream and the hope of the future than even like the relationship of the moment. You're like, wow, imagining your whole life, right? And so that's kind of where I was at, but still, you know, knew we had a little bit, like a long ways to go before we could get to that place. And as the relationship progressed, to make a really long story short, you can actually read all about this in Love Defined if you want more of the details. As the relationship progressed, I just started noticing some red flags. And, you know, red flags are those things that often in relationships we don't want to acknowledge. We don't want to like stare them straight in the face because we're hopeful that this is going to end in marriage, I guess, end in a beautiful path and not a heart-wrenching breakup, right? And so you want to ignore things that might derail your plan. And so I started noticing these red flags and I just kind of kept ignoring them. Like, okay.
Wait, so be specific.
Okay, I guess I was avoiding being super specific, but I guess I can't.
No, okay, well, or just give an example of what
okay,
a red flag
so,
would be.
Like a red flag might be he is telling you things like, hey, you know, I don't know, just telling you certain things about him or about what he does or about like plans. I don't know. And then the follow through seems to be very minimal. So like things that he's saying like, oh, I'm really passionate about this and it's something really good and even godly. But then as you spend more time with him and observe his habits, you're like, well, he's not really following through. Like, I don't really see the passion he's saying he has.
So or a red flag could be like really good intentions.
Really,
very,
really big talk, yeah. But small follow through.
So
and
confusing.
So you're just seeing that over and over, like, okay, is this a character issue? Is this just maybe I'm overthinking it? You're not sure, right? So you're like, maybe a red flag, things like that. Some other things that I started noticing was, and this might seem small to some people, but to me, it was like a bigger indicator of maybe his character that he would get really frustrated and kind of angry quickly about things that to me seemed really small. Like small insignificant things would really kind of throw him for a loop and frustrate him and get angry. And then he'd have to kind of like, oh, like he'd get really wrapped up in his emotions and then have to like kind of come back around. And that just started out small. But then as time progressed, I started seeing that more and more and more and thought, you know, wow, if this is like these small things are causing such a big emotional impact and like anger seems to be the default, like what happens when something really, really hard and big is going to happen? Like, ugh. And so those are just a few of the red flags I started noticing. Another one was just sexual compromise in small ways, like saying, hey, I really want to honor you in this relationship. I value, you know, purity and I want to honor God. I want to honor you, but then constantly pushing the boundaries, I guess. And in some ways, making it seem okay to push the boundaries in certain ways when other things have been communicated that those things were important to walk in. So those are just a few examples of red flags. So as time went on, you know, I was really ignoring these red flags and it really took someone from the outside who happened to be my mom. And this was the week of engagement. So engagement's going to happen on Saturday. At least this is what I was kind of being told. And things had been getting just worse and worse, I guess, from the perspective of like those red flags weren't going away. They were actually becoming more problematic. And so my mom finally came to me and just shared honestly, like, hey, I am seeing some really big red flags and I've been hesitant to say anything because I don't want to be the one to bring the really bad news and say, hey, have you thought about these? Have you seen these? These are concerning to me. I love you. I'm your mom. What do you think? And she's like, I just didn't want to be that person, you know, because she wants it to work out. We all want it to work out. But truly, at the core of everyone's heart, like my mom, me, like anyone who truly loved me and wanted what was best, you don't want a relationship to work out if it's not really the best. Like if it's not really going to be a good match, or if you see problems, if you see red flags, like plunging forward isn't the most loving thing to do, right? And so she shared, and it was in that moment, it was like God, it's like I had a veil across my eyes and God just removed the veil. And for the first time, I could see more clearly the red flags. I was staring them straight in the face and I had to acknowledge them. I couldn't escape. And maybe in your relationship, in a breakup, you came to that point where you're like, I was looking at this relationship with rose-colored glasses. I didn't want to face the reality that there were problems, that there were red flags, that people that I love who are wise Christians were speaking into my life. I didn't want to acknowledge that, but God brought me to a place where I had to face it. Maybe you've been there and you just knew, like, this is not God-honoring. I cannot move forward. This is not a good, healthy relationship. And so that was the point God brought me to, and I just had to face it. And God, by His grace, gave me the courage, I guess, and the willingness, the humility to say, like, yes, this isn't good. These are problematic things. I don't truly, in the depths of my heart, believe it would be wise to continue forward in this relationship. And so the breakup really did come from my end. And I mean, breakups are just horrible no matter how you slice it. Like, nobody loves them. Yes, they can be done in healthier ways. There's less healthy ways to break up. But all in the end, the breakup happened and we just both agreed to go our separate ways. He was obviously not in favor of the breakup, did not want that to happen, was totally devastated. And I mean, that's just a whole nother story. But the aftermath of that, of how do I move forward? Because like I said, I had been imagining my future with this guy. I had come to the point where I was starting to view him as my future husband, because really we were moving in that direction, clearly, with engagement around the corner. So how do you move on? Like, how do you find hope? Like, I had so many anxious feelings. I had so many worries. I remember in my heart feeling like I could never love again. Yes. And I remember telling Bethany, like, I could never love anyone again. Like, that just sense of, like, I'm done. Like, that was my chance. It's over. I can never love anyone again. I'm going to be single the rest of my life. And that's just the story I have to embrace. Like, I have no other option. And I remember feeling just so, almost like that feeling of just depression,
despair,
like no hope. God, why did you allow this to happen? Why did you bring him into my life? This seemed like such a good thing. How do we press on? We're going to bring some hopeful answers in a minute, but I want you to share some of your story, because yours were different than mine.
Totally.
The breakups, who does the breaking up? Like, if it's you or them, that also impacts how you recover, how you move forward.
So I'm going to share about the breakup where he ended it, because
there
were relationships where I ended it, but you gave such a great example of that. So my first relationship started when I was 19, which looking back, I'm like, I was a baby.
Right.
Now that I'm 32, it seems like it was so long ago when I see my youngest sister. Our youngest sister, Susanna, is 19, and she seems like such a little one, you know? So I was actually like very happy, very content, not necessarily looking for a relationship when this guy came entering the scene. And I actually met him because another friend invited me to an event where she wanted me to meet the guy that she was interested in. And they had kind of been talking. So I was like, okay, I'll go with you. I'll go meet this guy you're interested in, just to kind of scope him out and, you know, whatever, just to be a friend in that way. It so happens that the guy she liked brought his best friend, which was the guy that I ended up, you know, started dating or whatever. And so it was just one of those situations, which I thinking back to it, I'm like, how did we, like, I know we met that first time, but when did we become friends? When did we start hanging out? It was over a decade ago. Like, the details are getting fuzzy. But something that I do remember very clearly is the breakup, because oftentimes those tragic moments, those really, you know, just heartbreaking moments, they just kind of stick with us. You know, it's like when someone says something unkind to you or something, it just sticks with you. Like, those hurts just really, they're hard to forget. So we started getting to know each other. He was a newer Christian, very much a newer Christian. So that was definitely something like my family and, you know, my parents were like not concerned about, because obviously we, you know, all, you know, if you come to know Christ, it happens at some point in life. And, you know, just because maybe you grew up in a Christian family and you got saved at a young age doesn't mean you necessarily have like a deep relationship with Christ. So, you know, obviously that wasn't like a deal breaker, but just spiritual maturity and stuff, I wanted to make sure, like, okay, is he at a point where this is wise for us to like move forward and get married right now? So there was obviously that. We were, you know, like talking about and working through, and it just impacted our lives in ways because his family, they weren't Christians. And so it was just trying to figure all of that out. And it's important to talk about those things, you know. So that was probably like the biggest thing about our relationship, was just trying to figure out our differences, our different backgrounds. Like, are we a good match, you know? There are obviously a lot of nice people in the world, a lot of nice Christians, and we don't all marry each other because it's not always a good match. So that's the purpose of the relationship. So the relationship was, you know, like really great in a lot of ways. We had a ton of fun together. I got along with him so well. It really was. And it, you know, looking back, I really still think it was a great relationship. I really felt like compared to Kristen, where your guy mm-hmm. was very emotional and get upset about things. And like this guy that I was dating, he really wasn't that way. He was kind of like the happy-go-lucky, like really just fun, kind of life of the party, didn't get caught up in his emotions a lot, just very, like just a really enjoyable person to be around. So I really liked that about him. I really liked just how much fun I had. Like I felt like he was my best friend. And that's something I wanted in a future husband, someone where I didn't feel like we were just like, oh, a good match on paper, but actually best friends. So that was something that I loved about this relationship. So the relationship started to really get serious, to really progress. And to be honest, like, I guess I was just naive in some ways. Like, this was my first relationship. So I just kind of thought, like, of course this will end in marriage. Like, what else would happen? You know, like, I'm so excited and it seems great. So why wouldn't this end in marriage? We were having serious conversations. It was very intentional. As the relationship progressed, really it was more, I would say, on his end that his feelings really started to change, in the sense that I grew up a Christian and I came from, you know, like a really big Christian family, grew up pretty conservative, was very involved in church, just had a lot of strong convictions, was very much down that track. And he was a newer Christian. And so instead of those, like my lifestyle and my convictions being like something that continually attracted him to me, they started to become something that he actually was deciding he didn't really want. And he wasn't really sure how serious at this point he wanted to be about his Christian faith. And he just wasn't really sure, like, you know, where he was going in his future. So his attraction to me and to my faith was something that started to become like for him, I guess, a red flag in the opposite way. He's like, she's too much of a Christian. So I didn't really know that that was going on behind the scenes. I didn't really know that's how he was feeling. And honestly, the whole breakup came as like a pretty big shock to me. I remember me and my family went out of town to celebrate like one of my mom's big birthdays, I don't know, something. And him, me, and this guy, my boyfriend, we were like, I was going to be in a remote area, like, I don't know, in the
cabin. You were camping, right?
Cabin, whatever. And so there wasn't going to be good cell reception. And this was like, what, like 13 years ago? So we didn't have like iPhones and stuff. Things weren't as advanced as they are. So communication was harder, which sounds funny. It wasn't like I was in the 1800s, but it was still very different. So we couldn't just like keep up like you can now. I mean, there's like Wi-Fi everywhere now. It was just different. And so I was like, okay, basically like talk to you in a couple of days after the weekend. And when he said goodbye and left, and I left, I found out later that he was already deciding that when I got back, he wanted to end the relationship because he, you know, he was ready, but he didn't want to disrupt my mom's birthday weekend. So we decided to wait. And, you know, there were no signs that he was about to break up with me, but I don't know. Sometimes you just get this feeling like, I just feel like something's off, like something's weird. Like mm-hmm. when you know someone so well, just like their goodbye, the way they're acting, you can just tell like something's weird. So I obviously started stressing a little bit because I'm like, he didn't necessarily say anything or do anything, but I just feel like something's weird. Anyway, so I started kind of like freaking out a little bit, and somehow, some way, him and I were able to like connect on like AIM or something, which is like
throwback.
The old chatting programs. Somehow we were able to connect, like not on the phone, but through like text somehow. Like I was able to get a little bit of Wi-Fi, and I don't know why, but I just asked him like, is everything okay? Like, are we okay? Are we good? And he was like, oh, I really didn't want to talk about this till you got back. But like everything's not really okay. And we could talk about it more when you get back, but I'm just like really like not sure. I just really feel like we're really different and I'm not sure about this relationship going forward. So when somebody tells you that, it's like, oh my goodness, like my heart just absolutely broke. I was so devastated. I literally, even though it wasn't official yet, I just was like, this is like the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I want to cry my brains out. Like I just cannot survive. I can't go on. It just felt like my heart was being ripped out of my body. And so it was a horrible rest of the weekend, obviously. So the weekend ends, I go home and literally I drive from this like cabin camping place to meet up with this guy, my boyfriend. And we basically, like, I know, I'm like, this is the end of it. Like, I just know this is going to be the end. And so we go in and, you know, the one thing that I appreciate, even though I didn't want the relationship to end, I realized it was definitely for the best because we were not going down in the same place. And like, we were going in two very different directions in life. That became super clear. But I did really appreciate in my situation, he was very upfront. He was very honest. He wasn't like dragging me along. Like, you know, I mean, as hard and as horrible as it is, I'd rather have like a clean cut than like a 6 month drag on, you know? So it was just awful though. Like, I remember when I got to the location that we were meeting at, there was like a roach there and I had to kill it. And it was just like before he got there. So it was already like, if anyone knows me, I'm like, roaches are my worst nightmare. So I'm like, this is like the worst breakup ever. There's like a roach. Like, I just want to die. You know, like, it was horrible. And then we get together. We just kind of like, you know, say hi, sit across from each other, talk. And he just basically explained all of his reasons why he just didn't see us being a good fit. And it was all of the things that, you know, him just kind of like not really sure about his faith, not really wanting to walk down the Christian line, and just felt like, how can we like really enjoy life together if I'm wanting to do one thing and go hang out at places and parties and you're, as a Christian, like really not for that. Like, I just don't really see us this working. And in that way, it was clarifying because I'm like, yeah, I don't want to compromise and like really to that level, and he doesn't want to compromise in my way. So it was basically like two of us looking at each other saying neither of us are willing to compromise, and we've both decided the paths we want to go down, and it looks like they're not in the same direction anymore. And so I'm really grateful God really gave me the courage not to be like, no, I'll do whatever it takes. You know, like, I wasn't that desperate. And so that was really great, but it was so heart-wrenching. And so I remember we said goodbye. We talked about like, well, like, can we be friends? And it was just like, no way. Like, both of us were like, what are we going to do? Like, hang out? Like, there's no, this makes no sense. We've been in a romantic relationship. We just need to both move on. So yeah, we had been obviously friends, really good friends for that whole year before. And then at that point, you know, we said goodbye and drove away. And that was literally the last time I've ever seen him in my life, which is the most bizarre thing when you think about it. It's like you go from romantically getting to know someone thinking maybe we'll spend the rest of our lives together to breaking up and never talking or seeing that person again. And social media wasn't a big thing, so it wasn't really like I could stalk him much and he could stalk me. So it was very much like a clean separation. But that was hard because I was dealing with all of the things, like all the what ifs, and also feeling this sense of grief of like, as a Christian, I felt like the choices he was making and the direction he was going were not good. You know, I just felt like life and freedom is found in Christ, and I feel like he's walking away from that. So that was heartbreaking, just like on a friendship level, and just the fact of like, wasn't who I am and my faith and just like my joy in life. Like, why didn't that attract him enough to Christ? And why wouldn't he still want to be with me? Like, wasn't this enough? You know, all of those feelings when someone breaks up with you, you have all those questions like, what was wrong with me? And why wasn't this enough? And all of that is a factor that plays into it. That, you know, when they break up with you, like with you, Kristen, when you broke up with him, there's not really that factor because he wants
right,
to be with you.
Right.
When you're on the opposite end where a guy's like, I actually don't want to be with you, it's a whole nother level of like, oh my goodness, like I didn't even make this decision really. So we totally can relate to both sides. Obviously, every situation is really different, but the steps that both Kristen and I took to find like recovery and joy and happiness over the next several months were very similar. So I know, Kristen, you had this was before I went, your breakup was before me, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So you went through that breakup and then later I went through this breakup, but it was interesting because our journey of recovery and I don't know what you call it.
Yeah. Processing and moving forward. It's like you're forced to move forward. You can't stay in that place anymore.
You can't just sit there.
If you try to, it's just miserable and you don't make any progress emotionally, spiritually in your life. You have to move into the next season of now I'm walking forward single. I'm not in this relationship. And how do I really process this in a Christ-honoring way that's going to be healthy for my heart and help me to actually move forward?
For sure. And interesting with my story. I actually share this specific story in much greater detail and just the worry that I was overcome by, the worry, especially about the future. What if I get to know another guy and he breaks up with me again? Like, I can't go through that. You know, I was so heartbroken. I actually share all of that in our new book, Not Part of the Plan, Trusting God with the Twists and Turns of Your Story, which you can find on Amazon, on our website, girltofind.com/shop. So if you really want like a deep dive in how to deal with the worry, the anxiety that comes with that, go read, you know, Not Part of the Plan, because that's where you're going to find that encouragement. But right now, we want to share with you 6 really practical steps that you can take, or that you can offer as advice to a friend on steps that she can take to help her recover and just learn how to thrive again and learn how to have hope and joy after a breakup. And so if you're able to, you know, write these down or go back and re-listen or send this to a friend, because I think that these are really the steps that anyone going through a breakup can use to find joy again.
So we're taking these 6 steps actually from a PDF guide that we created called Christian Girls Breakup Survival Guide. So this is going to be a much more detailed guide. And this is actually available as kind of like a free monthly freebie for our Patreon supporters. So if you've never heard of Patreon, it's a platform where you can support content creators that you really believe in, you love their message, you want to see them continuing to create content like podcasts and videos, you want to see that message go forward because you've been blessed by it and you want to support that and help other women to find it, then you can do that through Patreon. We are on Patreon, Girl Defined is. We have a lot of supporters, but always looking for more to just continue moving forward. And so if you want to support us, you can actually head on over to patreon.com/girldefined. You can sign up just by giving $1 or $2, $3 or $4. It's not much each month. It's like a latte. But together, collectively, as the sisterhood links arms with us, we're able to continue moving forward with all of this content. And every single month, you'll get free downloadable resources. So this Breakup Survival Guide is one of the free resources that we have offered and given to our patron supporters. And if you join us, you will get all of the past monthly free PDFs plus every new resource we create moving forward. So without further ado, these 6 steps I think will be really helpful in just giving you some tracks to run on, because I know after my breakup, I didn't even know what to do. Yeah. It was like, I didn't even know what to think. I didn't even know, like my heart felt so, even though I was the one who broke up, that was one of the hardest decisions I had ever made because I didn't want to break up. I didn't want this thing to end. All I wanted was for it to be good, right?
Happily ever after. Yes. Come on. That's what Disney is all about.
Exactly. I just wanted everything to be good. Like, everything is awesome, you know, like, but it wasn't. Awesome. Yeah. And I had to face that reality. And so I knew the wisest decision was to break up. But then after that, I had no idea what to do next. Yeah. I just felt kind of lost. And so truly a guide like this at that moment in my life would have been really helpful, because when we can't think straight, when we feel like we're in a fog, when all of our dreams have been shattered, it's really helpful to have something biblical and practical to say, okay, it's okay. Just take one step. This is the next step that you can take. Okay, good job. Now one more step. And just something like that, I know is really helpful.
Because if you listen to the, you know, popular music, like Taylor Swift, you know, talking about like, oh, we're just going to burn another picture of the next guy, or, you know, just like, you're going to like, just rebound, have some fun after, or, you know, or just hate them. Like, they're the worst. There are so many bad ways, like getting bitter, like those aren't going to help you to find life and freedom. They may feel good in the moment to be like, actually, I hate him. He was the worst. I'm going to trash him. I'm going to go, you know, whatever, like, or I'm just going to be desperate and go back after him, or I'm going to, you know, bash him to all my friends or try. Those are very popular ways of dealing with a breakup according to culture and just in songs. Obviously, there are like so many songs like that. Yeah, it might feel good in the moment, but those are not going to help you to find lasting freedom, to actually grow and to actually become a more spiritually sound, Christ-centered woman. Like, don't waste this. Don't just waste this opportunity. I mean, it's through the valleys that we grow in our relationship with Christ. Both of us, I know, grew in such incredible ways through these breakups, and we would not be the same women we are today without them. And so we're grateful to God for allowing these, even though they didn't feel good in the moment. We look back and we see, wow, those were actually good things in our life because they drew us towards Christ. So these 6 steps will draw you towards Christ and not do the opposite by just finding temporary satisfaction and hating him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So the first thing, and this might seem like, oh, I wouldn't expect this, but the first thing that we both did and that we encourage you to do is to cry and be comforted. You know, the Bible is not just all about happiness and like everything's wonderful. Like,
there's an entire book called Lamentations, which is lament. It's about being honest and saying, yeah, there are really hard things that happen in life. And sometimes I'm going to cry and I'm going to cry hard and I'm going to cry for multiple days and even weeks. And I know after my breakup, I actually that whole next night, like actually, so the day the breakup happened, that following night, I pretty much cried the entire night through. Like it was so hard for me. And I, you know, you have these strong emotions, you're crying your eyes out, like you are just like a puddle of tears constantly. And God sees that. God sees our pain. He sees our hurt. And rather than just channeling our emotions in an unhealthy, ungodly way by targeting our anger at him or by trying to rebound and just find another guy to quickly fill that feeling that we're having, where we feel like there's a hole and we just want another, the void, another guy to fill it really quickly. God is saying, it's okay to lament. It's hard. Breakups are hard. You had a dream, you had a hope, you had a pursuit, and it all came crashing down. Take that lament to me. Bring it, your emotions to me. Don't just channel them elsewhere. And then allow other godly people in your life to comfort you.
Yes.
Right? So share the raw emotions with, if you have parents, you can share them with, a godly friend, a roommate, a sister,
a mentor to say,
my heart is so shattered right now. And even if you're saying it through tears, being honest about your hurt and your pain and allowing yourself to be comforted by the body of Christ, by loving sisters in Christ, and then by God himself, that is such a crucially important step in this. Really, it's a grieving process of helping you move forward in a healthy way. And so I just want to read a quick scripture that's been incredibly helpful to me coming from the book of Lamentations, Lamentations 3, and just listen to this and tell me if this isn't how you felt if you've gone through a really hard breakup directly after it happened. Starting in chapter 3, verse 17 says, "My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." This was from Lamentations 3, verse 17 through verse 24. A beautiful passage of lament, of taking the true burdens and aches and pains and tears of our heart, of our lives, and saying, God, I have forgotten what happiness is, and you're honest and you're being comforted. But then in that lament, you don't stay there. You redirect your heart and say, but this I call to mind, and then I have hope that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And that is truly a healthy way to grieve, a healthy way to cry and be comforted. And so I encourage you to use this chapter from Lamentations 3 as your own prayer, but continually in your mourning, in your grief, take those emotions to the Lord. Remember his faithfulness. And as you do that hour by hour, day by day, I mean, it was weeks for me before the raw emotions I was feeling kind of started to subside a little. I mean, it's like months that process is truly. But as we take those small, faithful steps of grieving, bringing our emotions to the Lord, he slowly but surely, faithfully heals our hearts.
The next step that both of us took after going through our breakups was to pray like crazy. And I know during a really hard breakup, it's super tempting to turn to entertainment or just distractions to numb your pain. Maybe for you, it's scrolling social media, watching movies, going shopping, just like hanging out with friends, doing stuff endlessly to try to just like forget it and to try to feel like, okay, I'm not really feeling what I'm feeling. I just need to distract myself. And it might feel good in the moment, but honestly, you're not doing yourself any favors by just trying to avoid it. Like Kristen said, it's super important to actually go through the grieving process and know that it's okay to grieve when you go through a breakup. Don't allow other people's hardships or for other people to say like, okay, there are bigger problems happening in the world. Like this is a big problem in your life. This is a big hardship in your life. So we don't want to minimize the pain and the heartache that any of us are going through. And we don't have to compare them and say, well, that's so small compared to what I went through. Like, no, it's okay to look and acknowledge and grieve. So don't avoid the grief. Don't avoid the hardship. Face it head on And pray. Pray for grace. Pray for strength. Pray for just this, I guess, heart of forgiveness and just love towards the people that have, you know, like hurt you, whether it's the, you know, friends involved in the relationship, the guy, whoever it is. There's often so many struggles that come along with it of just feelings of bitterness. So pray for God to give you a supernatural just grace and love through this whole process. Know that you do not have the ability to have that peace and love and joy and freedom on your own. That is something that can only come from Christ. So it makes sense to go to God, the one who has all the strength, all the love, all the hope, all the freedom, the ability to thrive. We need to go to him more than ever. And like I said, if you are willing to pray like crazy, to fall on your knees, to go before him, you will look back at this time of your life as a valley, but as a valley that eventually, you know, became a mountaintop because you grew through it, not because everything became perfect all of a sudden, but because you look back and you're like, wow, look at my relationship with Christ. Look how I grew through this. I love 1 Peter 5:7, which says, cast all, not just some, cast all your anxiety on him, on God, because he cares for you. God cares about these details of your life. God created love. He created marriage. He created romance. So he cares about this part of your life. It's not silly to him. It's not stupid. It's not something that he just wants you to get over. Like I said, oh, there are bigger problems in the world. Don't worry about your breakup. No, this matters to him. He cares about this for you. He wants you to come to him. He's your father. He loves you. So go to him and cast your anxiety on him, because he is the one who can take you from being, you know, in the depths of anxiety and worry to overcoming that and being filled with freedom and just joy to the of the future. And I know that seems hard right now, but if you go through these steps and you're intentional to cry and grieve and be comforted by mentors and then to pray like crazy, you will find that those little steps one by one will actually draw you closer to just that life that you're wanting again.
Yeah. And the third step you can take is to trust that God is bigger than your pain. In the moment and in the aftermath, it feels so monumental, so huge, that it almost starts to overshadow our perspective of God. And we start to feel like this hardship that we're walking through, which is very real, right? And impacting so much about the now and the future. It's so easy to fall prey to the lie that God is smaller than this, and that God is not big enough to really help us get through this, or that God, you know, if he was good, he wouldn't really allow this. And it's easy to start to view God and his character through the lens of our circumstances, right? Through the lens of this breakup. But in that, we have to remind our hearts of the truth that God is bigger than this pain, that he can be trusted, and that in his sovereignty, for whatever reason, we don't know all the reasons why God allows things to happen, but we do know that if he allows it to happen, we can bank on the fact that he, if we pursue him with our hearts, that he is going to work this out in the end for his glory and our good. And we can trust that as we pursue him, that he is bigger. And I just, you know, there's so much comfort in that. Because if you think about it, if you don't have God as you're walking through something really hard, if you don't believe in God or you don't really follow the Lord, what do you have to turn to? You only have yourself, the people around you, the resources in front of you. That's it. And when that doesn't work and you start to feel the real weight day after day of this hardship, you can start to fall into a true pit of despair, because you know there's really nothing bigger out there that's going to help you get through this. But as Christians, we know that God is bigger. And if you've had anything hard happen in your past outside of this breakup, you can probably see God's faithfulness in that, right? And sometimes remembering God's faithfulness from past things will help reignite our heart to trust him with our current circumstances. And so as you're walking through this, remember a verse like Proverbs 3:5-6, which we've talked about a ton. It's like Bethany's favorite verse. We talk about this all the time, but just listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
We don't know what he has for your future, but you can count on the fact that right now, as you trust him in this breakup, in this circumstance, that he's gonna bring you comfort. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on just what you can see. Trust that God is going to help you move forward. He's going to give you the grace. He's going to give you the strength. You know, as Bethany and I, from the vantage point we have now, it being over a decade after our breakups, what felt like emotions we could never overcome, situations we could never move past, heartbreak that would always be there, we're standing here over a decade later looking back on that, and we're actually able to say, thank you, Lord, for allowing those breakups to happen. Because truly, those relationships weren't going to go in a good direction. If we had plunged forward, demanded our own way, forced the relationship to press on, and then got married, those marriages would have been very challenging and I don't think good fits, good marriages. And so as we look back from the vantage point of having the husbands we do now, the past that God redirected, the twists and turns to bring us where we are today, and all that he's taught us through that, now today standing here, our hearts are whole. They're whole, and we can look back and say, God, thank you for what you brought us through. Thank you for what you did in the midst of that heartache and pain. And thank you, Lord, for the husbands you brought to us. We didn't know if marriage was in our future. You know, it was for Bethany over almost a decade later.
Yeah. For sure.
That Dave came onto the scene. That's a lot of trusting, a lot of faithfully walking, a lot of unknowns, a lot of unexpected. No, this was not part of her plan, that whole journey. But wow, looking back, she can truly say, thank you, Lord, for that journey. And thank you for my husband, Dave, now.
I love how you're speaking for me.
I'm speaking for you as you stand right here. So truly, you have to make the conscious choice to trust in the Lord, to place your trust in him and trust that he is bigger than this circumstance.
Mm-hmm. And if you're still listening to this episode, I'm guessing that you have something in your life or you know someone, and so you're feeling really encouraged by these truths. And if you're feeling encouraged, then you are like the person who needs to read Not Part of the Plan, because we take a deep dive into all of this in a much like deeper way. Deep, that's all I can think of. So if you are still listening, then you are like the one who needs to read Not Part of the Plan. So grab it at the link below. Or if you're thinking of someone, you're like, yeah, this is for my friend, gift them with this book because it could be life-changing for them. Okay, the next step, step number four in surviving a breakup, is to believe that God's plan is better. If you think about it, not only is God bigger than your pain, like Kristen said, but he has a good plan for your life. Even when life is hard, God's plans are still good. And I know, like, although the pain can feel overwhelming, especially if you're in it right now, you can know that God has a better plan for your future, and you can trust him with that. I think that's really hard when we're going through hard things. Like I said in the very beginning, we want to worship God when life is going exactly the way that we want. But when life is hard, we're like, no, God, you're not good. And we, you know, we talk about this in our book, Not Part of the Plan. Like, we imagine if you are painting, you know, there's a portrait, and it's a portrait of your life. And we want to have the paintbrush. We want to paint it. We want the picture to look exactly like what we want it to look like. We want the path to go. We want it to be, okay, God, here's my plan. I say I trust you, but I want control. I want the paintbrush. But what God is asking us to do, he's saying, no, open up your hand, give me the paintbrush. I am going to paint the picture of your life. I know the story. Just like Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will direct your steps. Not, he will direct your steps exactly where you want to go. So God's plan is better than our plan. And even though we can't see into the future, God knows. And like I said, he takes us oftentimes through these valleys, because it's through these valleys that we learn and grow and trust him and thrive and mature and just are grounded in our faith in ways we wouldn't have if we didn't go through the valleys. I mean, think of a movie. When you think of a movie, what kind of plot is it if there's no hardship, if there's no valley? It's what you see emerging at the end, and you're like, wow, look at how this person has overcome. Look at the story that's become of this. You know, we're not a 2-hour movie, though. We just feel like, well, I'm in the middle and I don't know what the end is. But we can trust that God has a better plan. And even if it's not what we think it is, it's ultimately for our good. Like Kristen said, you know, neither of us would probably be Running Girl Defined if we had control of this, you know, the paintbrush, if we had planned our lives the way we wanted them to go. But God said, no, trust me. This is not for you. I have a different plan for you. And so I just look back and I'm like, I thank God that he didn't allow me to control my life and to, you know, have it turn out exactly the way that I wanted. But that takes surrender. That takes opening up your hand and trusting him. I love the passage in Matthew where it's 10:29-31, where it says, are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So just remembering, like, God loves you. He literally sent Jesus to die for you. He's the creator. He created those sparrows. He created everything. And this passage is saying, are you not more valuable than them? You are an image bearer made in the image of God. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. He wants you to run to him for that comfort and to trust him with the future. Don't allow the pain of this moment to distort your perspective of God and of the entire future, because this moment is not forever. So just remember, like, okay, I'm going to take these steps. I'm going to believe that God's plan is better. And as I work through these survival breakup steps, I know that one day I will get to the other side and I will be able to look back and say, thank you, God, for allowing me to go through this. You did truly have a better plan for my life.
Yeah. And as you take steps forward and as God heals your heart and you move on, one of the temptations that I remember feeling is that once you start feeling a little better, you start to question the entire breakup again, because you're almost like, wait, I feel good. Oh, maybe that could have really worked out. Maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. Especially if you're the one who broke up, you start to question all of your decisions and you're like, your memory does this weird thing where you can only remember all the good, right?
Well, even if they broke up with you, you might try to go after them again.
Yeah,
like, hey,
yeah.
DM them, whatever. You know,
you start to feel like, you know, it really wasn't as bad as I thought it was, because your emotions are starting to heal, starting to recover, right?
Yeah.
So this is a very, I've talked to so many women, and I felt this too. Bethany felt this too. Like, this is a common thing that we feel as our healing is happening. It's easy to feel like, okay, my heart is feeling good. So maybe this relationship could actually work out. Yeah. Maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. So this is something, I don't even remember who encouraged me to do this, but number 5 is to write down a reality list. And this is for your heart. As you're moving forward, as you start to question your decision, as you start feeling, I guess, just these feelings of like, maybe I should go after him. Maybe I should DM him. Maybe I should just, you know, stalk him a little. Maybe I should see what he's up to.
Open up that door.
Yeah, open up the door. Or maybe he's continuing to pursue you because you ended it. And you're starting to question, well, I mean, like, were those flags really a big deal? Like, I don't know. We had so much fun. Oh, and you start thinking of the memories and the laughter and the joy. And you think, it would really be nice to be back in that place again. So you start to remember the past with rose-colored glasses again. And so writing down a reality list is so important, because this will help ground your emotions in the truth of what actually happened. And so what I mean by a reality list is, if the breakup really happened for good reasons, which so often I think they do, then you write down, right after the fact, you write down all of the things that are true about why this relationship wasn't healthy. What was happening? What specifically were those red flags that you saw? What were those unhealthy patterns? For example, maybe it was character issues. Maybe you had issues. Maybe he had issues. Maybe there was just relationship issues happening constantly. Maybe it was manipulation on his part or on yours, and you knew, wow, we need to get out of this. This is a toxic relationship, which we have an entire podcast on that. You got to go check it out. Maybe it was compatibility issues, your faith. Maybe he's not a believer and you just kept trying to force it. Sexual compromise was a constant theme of your relationship. Spiritual weakness, just totally on different pages spiritually. I mean, the list goes on, right? Whatever you saw, regardless of who ended it, write all of those things down and be specific. And this is to help your heart as you're moving forward to remember, yeah, you know, I am kind of seeing this with rose-colored glasses as I look back on it. But as I read this list, I'm reminded of the reality of why this relationship wasn't good, why this relationship actually needed to end. And as you do this little exercise, and you just keep this list to yourself, you're not showing it to anyone, you're not posting it anywhere. It's a private list for you to have in your heart, really, in your mind, to remind you of why you don't need to second guess that breakup. You know, why you just need to keep pressing on, go back to steps 1 through 4, persist in those, and then keep this list in front of you. Proverbs 19:20 reminds us that it says, listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. And so in some ways, this is like listening to your own advice, because our hearts are deceitful. The Bible tells us that. And it's easy to be deceived as time goes on. And so listen to your own advice, write that list, keep it in front of you, and remind your heart of why this breakup happened and why it's a good thing that you continue to press on.
Step number 6 is focus on serving others. Now, obviously, there are many more things that you can do following a breakup. Every breakup is different. It ends for different reasons. There are different, you know, complications that come into it. So we always recommend having a mentor, a godly older woman, to be like the you know, specific wisdom and advice in your life. But these are steps you can take immediately following, and they're just good overarching steps, but not necessarily the specific things that you're, you know, all the things that you're going to need. So step number six that we're going to share, focus on serving others. Mm. Now, if you think back to like our creation and our existence, we were not made for our own glory. We were not made to serve ourselves. That's not how we were made to thrive. Our creator made us in the image of God to serve him, to love him, to live for him. And that is literally how we thrive, how we have life, how we have freedom. It sounds so counterintuitive, and especially in our day and age when everything is like, okay, girl, you just went through something hard. You need to go and just like focus on yourself forever. Yes, there can be some truth to that. Yeah. Like, I mean, Kristen and I, we love to get massages. We love to get pedicures. Like, we love to kick back and relax. We love vacations. We're not saying don't do things that are enjoyable and fun and life-giving, but we're saying don't go all the way in that direction. Don't make life all about you. If you do that post-breakup, or really at any time in your life, it's not going to bring you the complete happiness that you're looking for, because it literally goes against the way that you were designed. Your creator did not make you to find glory and complete satisfaction within yourself. So if truly you are wanting to find life and joy and to thrive and to overcome and to just, you know, get past this breakup and to see the light at the end of the tunnel, at the end of those five steps, you're going to have to look up and say, okay, I need to get back in the game. Like, I got to focus on serving others. I've got to get my eyes off myself. And this is a crucial step in surviving a breakup. If you look at Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are his, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." This is what we were created for, good works for Jesus, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So serving God, living for him, pointing others to him is literally the reason, one of the reasons we were created for. So that's why it's crucial that you take time to think and say, how can I get my eyes off of myself, off of my problems, and start focusing on serving others? You know, you've got to make sure you're plugged into a good Bible-believing church, because there are going to be so many opportunities within that church to serve. So if you're plugged into a church, you know, volunteer in the nursery, volunteer with the youth program, just email and say, hey, I would love to serve. What are the needs? How can I help? That's a great step to take. You know, there are so many ministries in so many cities, you know, feeding the homeless. There are so many, like, you know, helping after school programs. There are so many opportunities run by Christian organizations where you can get involved, where you can help, where you can serve. Or maybe it's just looking up and saying, wow, I actually, you know, I have siblings, I have family. I could focus on finding opportunities to love them. Maybe it's just taking a day and saying, hey, today I'm going to write 10 notes and I'm going to mail them snail mail style. And I am just going to encourage friends. Or I'm going to send 5 texts today that just encourage a friend, point them towards Christ, send some scripture. Things as simple as that get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our circumstances, and they help us to focus on bringing glory to God. And that truly is a step of healing. That's something obviously the world completely misses, because they don't acknowledge we were created in the image of God. They don't acknowledge God. So you're not going to find that wisdom if you just, you know, do a quick Google search or listen to the pop music. You're not going to find it there. But truly, that is a crucial step towards healing and surviving a breakup. Mm-hmm.
So to quickly recap as we wrap everything up here, number one, cry and be comforted. Number two, pray like crazy. Number three, trust that God is bigger than your pain. Number four, believe that God's plan is better. Number five, write down a reality list. And number six, focus on serving others. Like Bethany said before, this is not a comprehensive list of everything that will help you heal and move forward and process this in a way that's going to be healthy spiritually, that's going to keep Christ at the center, that's going to remind your heart of the truth of the gospel. But this is a good starting place. These are good tracks that you can run on. These are good steps that you can take right now. The biggest thing in all of this, though, is to have a godly, wise woman walking with you through this, because we don't know the nuances of your breakup. We don't know all the situations. This is general advice, general basic principles that you can take with you moving forward. But please seek out a godly woman in your church, someone that you know, an aunt, a mom, a family member, someone who can just help you as you're in this fog to say, hey, you could even bring this list and say, can you help me walk these things out? I need accountability. I need help. I need a voice from the outside guiding me right now, just like helping me point me forward because I'm just spinning in circles. Having that godly woman walk with you is so important. We each had that, and that truly made a massive difference in us moving forward in a healthy, Christ-centered way. So please do that. And just know, we love you. We love the sisterhood so much. And our hearts break whenever we get an email from one of you or hear a DM or a comment saying, I'm in the midst of a really hard breakup. We just resonate with the pain you're going through because we have felt it too. And so if you feel like you need additional encouragement, you just need a deeper dive, a deeper biblical dive, just practical advice on fear, anxiety, on worry, on this prayer that feels unanswered or this unfulfilled longing or this massive twist or turn, again, I think you'll be so encouraged by our new book, Not Part of the Plan, Trusting God with the Twists and Turns of Your Story. Because we really wrote this book out of our own journey of struggling for a decade through twists and turns that we never imagined, whether it was singleness, breakups, my journey of infertility and miscarriage, so many hardships. Bethany suffers from chronic migraines. I mean, there's so many things in our lives that did not go according to our plan. And how do we press on? How do we trust God? How do we find hope? How do we thrive? All of that is possible, and we unpack that in our book. So we hope you'll be encouraged by it. We want to support you in your journey to come alongside of you, and grabbing a copy of Not Part of the Plan, I think, will be a huge encouraging step for you. Again, you can grab it anywhere books are sold or at girldefined.com/shop. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Please pass this podcast episode along to anyone you know who's going through a breakup, because I think it'll be really encouraging for them as well. Until then, we'll see you guys next time.